It's over there. For the joy that was set before him, that's why he endured the cross. Amen. Why don't you take your Bibles with me? And like I said, I want to get moving so we have plenty of time. If you are not a member of this church, you're more than welcome to stay for our Easter dinner. Afterwards, it's just going to be a time of food and fellowship, enjoying each other. Amen. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 6. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 6. We're going to read two passages of Scripture. If you could stand for the reading of the Word of the Lord, we'll honor Him. Amen. Then, Jonathan, I'm going to ask you to come pray and ask the blessing of the Lord upon the preaching. So you can come up here if you'd like. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, in other words, they couldn't find his body, what in the world is going on? Two men stood by them in shining garments, as they were afraid and bowed down their faces unto the earth. They said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. Know ye not? And when you get that, you can say, Gloria a Dios. You can say amen when you get that. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. I was doing bilingual preaching, had an interpreter Friday night, so I had some fun. And when I tell them to say amen, it's kind of like telling us to say Gloria a Dios. Hallelujah. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The help of the Lord today, I want to preach to you for a little while about the firstborn of the dead. The firstborn of the dead. And Josh, you can put that slide up while Brother Jonathan prays.
Can we bow our heads? Lord, thank you for this day, Lord Jesus, and the day which you fulfilled Scripture, Lord, and you rose again from the grave. Lord, thank you for everything you've done in our lives, Lord. We ask you to continue to bless us, bless this service, touch the pastor, touch this church, Lord, in your mighty, powerful name, in Jesus' name.
Amen. If you'll say in Jesus' name, you could be seated. This really doesn't have a whole lot to do with the message. It does at the same time, but I did a little bit of reading and looking for some pictures this morning. And a couple of tombs that I found. The one on the left top is the tomb of Buddha. And the one on the left bottom, anybody tell me what tomb that is? It's Muhammad. Can anybody tell me the tomb on the right? It's Jesus. Scripture said he's not here. He is risen. Of course, this is an artistic rendering on a picture of what they supposed that the disciples saw when they went and checked on the tomb of Jesus. They couldn't find him, but they found angels instead telling him, it's okay, fellas. He's not dead. He's alive. Amen. We've got a cross in our church, and of course, this we don't own this property, so I wouldn't be able to do anything about it if it wasn't like this. And we don't mind having crosses in the church as long as they're empty crosses. Amen, because Jesus is not on the cross anymore. Amen, he's not in the grave anymore. We don't crucify him. Later on, as we take communion, and I'll say a couple of words about that, we don't crucify him afresh by eating the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Those are things that we do in the remembrance of him. Amen, not on the cross. He is risen, and the word of the Lord tells us that he is in heaven right now. Amen. Easter is an exciting time, and of course, there will always be people that get bent out of shape about everything, and some people will say that they've done a study on it, and they find that Easter originally had little to do with Jesus, and that's true. It had to do with Ashtaroth and all kinds of crazy things way back when. I'm talking about before Christ. And the way it came about that it became a Christian holiday was because the original Christians were slaves. If you notice that when churches first start, they don't attract the wealthy. Amen? They attract the poor. The same thing back in the time of Jesus. They were slaves. They were poor people. And on what we call Easter, they would have their pagan celebrations, and they would let the slaves go for the day. And that was a day that they could celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And of course, most of the times it falls on Passover. Or Good Friday falls on Passover. That's all right. And then that following Sunday would be the Resurrection Sunday. So it's really not that far off. Don't, if you're caught up with some of that stuff, don't even worry about it. The word of the Lord tells us something in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. Colossians 2 and verse 16 says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, in drink, in respect of holy days, or of a new moon, or of Sabbath days." We have the right to have holy days before the Lord. And of course, Easter's one that we've chosen, like much of Christianity, that we can respect the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. Some people don't look at it this way, but the Scripture says, don't let them judge you. You know, you can't stop somebody from judging you. They're going to do what they want to do anyway, but you can just sit there and understand the Scripture and just not let it bother you. Amen? If you operate by the way that people operate, and you operate to be a people pleaser, I promise you that you will go crazy, because you can't please everybody. Amen? And we need to understand that. Even as a pastor, I can't please everybody. I can do what's right in the sight of the Lord. And it's God that ultimately I need to please. Amen? And it's God that you need to please in your life. Praise the Lord. Am I not speaking truth there? It is. The first day of the week is Sunday, is scripturally the resurrection, when resurrection took place. Of course, it may not have been this Sunday. It may have been next Sunday or the Sunday before. It really doesn't matter in that respect. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ, really, and some people just look at it superficially, and they think it's just merely about his resurrection from the dead. But if you begin to look into it a little bit, it's a lot more than that. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, it tells us that he is the firstborn, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Amen. The Scripture uses that strange term, the firstborn from the dead. But if we were to look at the aftermath of the resurrection in Matthew chapter 27, verses 52 and 53, Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53, we see that he was the beginning of the resurrection, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which were slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. When there's that much power around someone, by the power of God, Christ was raised up by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. You know, when he said, "Lazarus, come forth," and Lazarus came forth, he had so much power that if he had just said, "Come forth," it would have been a wholesale resurrection back then. Amen. God's not limited. We limit God, but God's not limited. Amen. The resurrection, or a resurrection, follow the resurrection. And the Bible speaks about three resurrections in mass, not talking about other resurrections like Lazarus and some other folks, but it talks about three resurrections. It talks about the resurrection of the dead at the judgment seat of Christ. When a person dies, that's not the end. If they die lost, that's not the end. They will stand before the throne of God one day. They will be resurrected to stand before the Lord. Not the resurrection like we know, but nevertheless they will stand before God. The resurrection of the Old Testament saints, and we read that in Matthew chapter 27. And there's one more resurrection. It tells us, and why don't you put that up there, Brother Joshua. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15. And somebody say, praise the Lord. This is a joyous day. Amen. We've got life to look forward to. Christianity is not dead. It's alive. Amen. Praise the Lord. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent the... Oh, go ahead to the 14th verse. I guess I got one ahead. Okay, maybe it's the 16th verse. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What is the rising from the dead? That's a resurrection. There's a resurrection coming at what the Bible calls the trump of God that sounds. We call it the rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible per se, but the act of what we're describing is, because Jesus is coming for his church, there's a trumpet that's going to blow, and the dead in Christ that are going to arise. And if you read the next verse, it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You don't want to miss that resurrection. We're getting so close to these things. When you look into the happenings and prophetical happenings, we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. And you say, well, Pastor, is the Lord coming this week? I don't know if he's coming this week. But like the song said, will your robe be white? Are you ready? And that's what the scripture tells us to be. It tells us to watch. It tells us to wait. It tells us to pray. It tells us to ready ourselves. Because Jesus is coming for his church. If it's not tomorrow, it might be the day after. It's not the day after. You say, well, it's been going on a long time like that. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen, because Jesus is coming for his church. Every day that we live, we see more and more craziness in this world. We thought that we saw craziness in past years, but we see more and more craziness in the world in which we live. In the book of Daniel chapter 10 and verse 25, it tells us that that last day spirit shall seek to change times and laws, and it shall be given into his hands. There are things happening in this country. No matter how much we pray, we may not be able to stop it, because if the Lord says it's time, it's going to be time. Amen? We see they're trying to redefine marriage. I don't care who redefines marriage. It's still the same thing. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. We believe in God's order. Hallelujah. The world doesn't believe that. That's what brought judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's coming. It's coming. The more our society heads that way, the more the Lord is going to, at one point, he's going to say, enough is enough. But the scripture does prophesy that these things will come to pass, and he'll change times, and he'll change laws. It'll be given into his hand. There's nothing that we can do about that when it happens. But what we can do is we can keep ourselves ready. We can keep ourselves pure. We can keep ourselves white. Amen. We can keep ourselves ready, that should that trumpet blow tonight, should that trumpet blow tomorrow, it doesn't matter, because we're going to go in it. We're going to go in the rapture. We've lived for God. We've served Him. We've kept our robes white. And we don't have anything to fear. There's nothing to fear that whatever happens in this world, all the craziness of this world, there's nothing to be fearing about. It's going to be, are you ready for His coming? Have you walked with the Lord? Are you walking with Jesus right now? You don't want to be in the second resurrection. Revelations, chapter 12, 20. Revelations chapter 20, verses 12 through 13. The Bible talks about another resurrection other than the coming of the Lord. Other than the resurrection that happened after Christ arose. It talks about another resurrection of the dead. It's not going to happen right now, but it's going to happen in the future. Right now here, though, there is another type, and there's a fourth type of resurrection, which I didn't mention. We're going to look at these three. There's actually four. And right now, somebody's being resurrected from the dead. And I'm not talking about the physical raising from the dead. Because the Lord can resurrect our spirit within us. Did you know that in order to be resurrected, you had to be dead in the first place? So you had to have had a spirit before. You had to have died in order for the Lord to resurrect that spirit that I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. This is not the one I'm talking about, but this is the one that's coming. This is coming after the end of all things. The word of the Lord tells us that there's going to be a rapture. There's going to be a tribulation come upon this world. I don't know if any of you read, I mentioned it last Sunday, and somebody looked it up and found out it was true. That, like, for example, Iran is being invaded by giant rats, size of cats, huge things. And I believe the number was, has anybody looked up that number, 24, 25 million rats? 12 million? 35? 25. 25 million rats. Huge things. So they send snipers out there to shoot them, and they just got 2,000 of them. They can't do anything about that. The Bible talk, I'm not the Bible, but the news talks about 80 million locusts that were sweeping from Israel, or Egypt, excuse me, over to Israel. I saw some pictures of that. They can't even drive down the roads during those swarms because their roads, their windshields are covered with bug guts, basically. So there's things that are happening in this world that make you wonder and say, what in the world is going on? Iran's threatening to blow up Israel. North Korea's threatening to blow up everybody. All kinds of craziness in this world. Should we be afraid? No, just be ready. But after the church is gone, there's going to be the tribulation. After the tribulation, there's going to be the 1,000 years of peace. After everything is done, this is when that takes place. This is when this takes place. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written where? In the books. The books that he's talking about is the word of God. And he says they're going to be judged, every man according to their works. He's going to look in the book of life. Is your name written in this book? It's not written there. I'm going to open up some other books, and I want to judge your life according to the word of God. Whether you like it or not, you may grind your teeth and you may not like what I'm saying today, but the word of the Lord tells us that there is a resurrection of the dead that's coming. And we are going to have to stand before God in the judgment. How will you fare? What will be your end? If God were to come today, or worse yet, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? You say, well, I don't believe in any of that stuff. Well, I hate to tell you this. You cannot believe that in anything. And if God is right and it's true, doesn't matter what you don't believe. Amen? I could look at and see there's air in here. And I could say, since I can't see this air, I don't believe air exists. It wouldn't matter because air exists. So is it with God. You can sit there and say, I don't believe. All you want to say, I don't believe. It's not going to change this day. What does the next verse say? 20 and 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Amen. So there is coming a time. The great news that we have today is there was a resurrection that took place 2,000 years ago. We entered, no longer are we under the law, where the Bible talks about we had to offer the sacrifices, we had to kill the turtle doves, we had to offer to the priest, have the priest offer a lamb or offer a piece of cattle or something like that for our sins. But now the Bible says we are under the grace of God and we can go boldly before His throne. We teach, and the Bible teaches about the priesthood of the believer, that you don't have to confess your sins to me. Amen? You don't have to do that. You have to confess them straight to the high priest, straight to the Lord. Amen? Does it mean you don't need to live righteous? You don't need to church? That doesn't mean that at all. But it means that God has given grace. He's given unmerited favor. You may have hated God all of your life. It could change today. Amen? You might have fallen away from the Lord and done some things that you're so ashamed that you don't want to mention. But the Bible tells us that you can be a recipient once again of the grace of God through repentance. Amen. There's a judgment coming. We will not be able to stop that. But there's a resurrection today that can take place among the living. And let's look at the book of Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 through 15. Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 through 15. And if you're wondering about all this, all that stuff in red, that's my scriptures that I read instead of trying to have them fumble around. I do it that way. Makes it a little bit easier for me. Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 through 15. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Actually, go back to the 8th verse. Go back to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. And it starts out with an admonition that says, beware. Look at your neighbor and say, beware. Oh, come on. Help me have some fun here today. Look at your neighbor. Look at him and shake your finger at him and say, beware. Nice and scary like. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of the world, or traditions of men, excuse me, the rudiments of the world, but not after Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. If you look at the God of the Old Testament, the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. The book of John chapter 5 tells us the spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have. He manifested Himself in the past as Balaam's donkey. But we did not see God. John chapter 1 and verse 14. Brother Joshua, why don't you put that up for me? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld in His face. Hallelujah. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Scripture tells us that God manifested Himself in the flesh in the form of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what the Word of the Lord teaches us. Going back to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. And you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What is that circumcision? The Old Testament. In order to be under the covenant of Abraham, the men had to be circumcised. The ladies didn't have to be, but the men had to be circumcised. If you don't know what that is, then ask me later. I'm not going to describe it. But in the New Testament, the Old Testament was a shadow of things which were to come. There is a circumcision of the New Testament, and we find that in verse 12. It tells us, buried with Him in baptism, wherein you're also risen with Him. Through what? Through the faith of the operation of God. This is so important, because some people think we believe that water is magic. Water is not magic. It's your faith in the way that God works. That's not magic either. That's just how God responds. If you do what the Lord said to do, He will respond. That's the faith of the operation of God. The faith of the way that God works. You're not looking at baptism as some kind of magical thing. You're looking at it as what the Scripture tells you to do. Circumcise the sins of your flesh. No longer the physical circumcision, but a spiritual circumcision of the heart. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein you walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord. Go ahead to the next verse. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, He has quickened together with Him, having forgiven you your trespasses. In Acts 2:38, it tells us to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, for the forgiveness of your sins. That circumcision works together with baptism for the forgiveness of sins according to the Scripture here. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Go back to 2:14, Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing in it. One of those things that He triumphed over the devil. No doubt that Satan had a field day when Christ was crucified. When they buried Him, no doubt the devil thought, He's done, He's over, we're done with this one. Nothing's going to happen. He never knew who Christ was. That's what the Bible says. He never knew who Jesus was. The Scripture said if the princes of this world had known who He was, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Maybe God has some kind of recollection, some kind of memory He can share of me. Because I would love to see the day the devil realized he's not in the grave anymore. And when he, not only did he realize that, when he began to realize what exactly he did, Christ had to die. Christ had to go to the cross. Some people say that the Jews crucified Him. The Romans crucified Him. Doesn't matter whoever crucified Him. You ought to thank Him and say, thank you for doing that. Amen. Because the Bible tells us He opened a new and a living way by doing that. He had to die so we could live. He had to die so we could be resurrected. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, He can resurrect you today. Remember what a resurrection is? If I died today, fell out here and died, you prayed for me, I came back to life, it is a resurrection. If you've lived for God previously and you failed God and your spirit is dead, He can resurrect your spirit today. Come on. He's not the God of the end. We live in the age of grace. The Lord is saying right now He wants to refill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. God doesn't have a big baseball bat up there waiting for us to mess up that we could fall out and go to hell and all the rest of that stuff. You misunderstand the grace of God. He loves us. If you will force His hand, you will be lost. But if you will respond to Him, hallelujah. Jesus was the firstborn of the dead, both physically and spiritually. Like I said, when He died on the cross and He was resurrected, another resurrection happened. The saints of old got out of the graves in Jerusalem around Him. And then there's going to be the rapture, the resurrection of the rapture. Then there's going to be the resurrection that's going to come in the end. But there's also a spiritual resurrection that can happen right now. It might not be something that you see. You know, I've noticed something with people. I kind of watch people and been watching people for many years. And I kind of like to know the end of the story. I hear a lot of stories. I like to see what happened down the end. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But I've seen people, and they make all kinds of displays, and they make all kinds of gyrations. Some of that, not all of it, some of that is because they're fighting themselves. If you just give in to God, you don't have to fight yourself. That was the night I received the Holy Ghost. It was not a big display. Amen. I just didn't fight God. The Lord said, come to the altar. I said, I'm going to do that. Repent of your sins. I'm going to do that. I need to preach the message I preached on the gift of repentance. I'm going to have to preach that again. Because we've got to understand that God gives you something when you don't fight Him. When you don't resist Him. When you just say, yes, Lord. And that goes way down the road too. When you're living for God, maybe you've done wrong. Maybe you've sinned or you've had a stank, rotten attitude. Whatever the case is. And God begins to speak to you about your stank, rotten attitude. And instead of saying, my attitude's not bad, His is bad or hers is bad. Just respond to the Lord instead. Just let God work on you instead. Instead of fighting God, instead of fighting conviction, let God work on you. Amen? Come on, you know I'm telling the truth. Praise God. But He is that firstborn of the dead, both physically and spiritually. That's why we read in Romans 6, know ye not, that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death. We finally got our baptistry now. I'm going to be staining it this week and polyurethane it. Got a couple of plaques I want to put on it. But I think one of the coolest things is it looks like an extra thick coffin. What are we doing? What do you do when you get baptized? You die with Christ. Don't worry, we won't put the lid on. We won't put the lid on that. That's not going to go on. But I think it's just neat. You go downstairs and see it later on. It's going to look like you're dying with Christ. That's what baptism is about. Dying to the sins of your flesh. Dying to your own wills and desires. And you say, well, I've had my own plan for many years now. What's going to happen if I give in to God? What's going to happen is the Lord has an alternate plan for your life. That's what happens. And when you give in to God and you walk with the Lord, you're going to find out. And I promise you this. I promise you this. His ways are better than your ways. He's got blessings for you and things that are going to come down your life and the road of life that you would have never had access before if you continued to fight God. Amen. I could see, I've told you some of you my testimony. I won't go into much of it, but one thing I did, I almost got out of the military so I could go be a cocaine dealer back in 1979. And isn't that one of the stupidest things you ever heard in your world? Where would I be today? I'd be dead, addicted, or in jail. No more choices. No more choices. It never ends good. But instead of walking that road, when I walked into the first time into that Pentecostal church and the preacher began to preach to me, I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. 32 years later, I'm very happy that I said yes to the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 2, the first 9 verses. And Becky, why don't you find Mom and tell her to go ahead and start getting ready up here. Ephesians chapter 2, the first 9 verses. And to you hath He quickened, who were dead. Who were, I told you it's a resurrection. Who were dead in sins and trespasses. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You know who the Bible says the god of this world is? The god of this world is Satan. And you walked after following Satan. Amen. I did that myself. Like I said, there was a time when I was going to go be a cocaine dealer of all the dumb things in my life. I didn't walk according to the Lord. I walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, Third verse, among whom we also had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in judgment. Is that what it said? No. How much do you know about the mercy of God? You may feel like today that you don't know my life, Pastor, and I really don't need to know your life. That's okay. But I know what the Bible says about the mercy of God. His mercies are new every morning. The Word of the Lord tells us that God delights. It makes Him happy to have mercy. He's not going to be happy in Revelation chapter 20 when the dead stand before Him. He's probably not going to smile. You know when He's going to smile though? When some others come up to Him, He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." He's going to be happy to do that. He's going to be hurt on the judgment day. You say, well, then He doesn't have to send anybody to hell. Well, He's bound by His word. How would you like it if I spent 6,000 years telling you that there's going to be eternal life and eternal damnation, then last minute, oops, I changed my mind. He's not going to do that. The word of God tells us His word is forever settled in heaven. He's not going to change His mind. He's already laid out how He works, is how we respond to that working of the Lord. Amen. For even when we were dead in sins, He has quickened us. The fourth verse. But God, who is rich not in judgment, in mercy. And you can come, Sister E. For His great love wherewith He loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us. You don't have to worry about God being rude with you if you will take advantage of His grace. Amen. If you will take advantage of His grace, you don't have to worry about that. He wants to show the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness to us. In the eighth verse, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. People say, well, baptism is a work. It's not a work. Remember what we read in Colossians 2 and 12? It's faith in the operation of God. Faith in the way that God works. I want to take a little bit of time today. Why don't you stand with me? Just kind of let God work on your heart and your mind. Just say, yes, Lord, yes, to His will and to His way. Let's give the Lord just a few minutes, and then we're going to go into communion. Why don't you bow your head? I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I'm gonna trust You and I'll obey. Spirit speaks to me. My whole heart I'm gonna agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Well, I'll say yes, Lord.
yes to your will and to your way. With my whole heart I'm gonna agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. You can be seated again. And I'm going to ask Brother Rick and Brother Soon, please come. Please come. We're going to read the scriptures concerning communion while I go wash my hands. Come first, Brother Rick, and then Brother Soon. This is one page. Make it a little bit bigger, make it easier for everybody to read. I would like these brethren to read these scriptures.
Amen. Luke 22:13-20. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they make ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourself. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is broken, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this is the New Testament. New what? Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23-32, says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen. Praise God.
One of the ordinances, of course, of Christianity is communion, which we're preparing to partake of. Communion is a symbolic partaking of the Passover meal that Christ took part of with his disciples before his crucifixion on the cross. Some teach, as I alluded to earlier, the doctrine of transubstantiation, that when we drink the grape juice and we eat the wafer, that it literally turns into the body and the blood of Jesus Christ inside of us, and that's not the case. The Scripture teaches us when we do this, we remember. It has no magical power like that, where we're not eating Jesus every time we take communion. That is not what the Bible teaches. It's a remembrance of the broken body of Christ on the cross, and a remembrance of his blood, which was shed for the sins of many, for all. Some hold that the wine must be fermented wine, but at the Orthodox Passover tables, I've been told by rabbis that both fermented wine and Kedem grape juice must be available to choose. And we will not be using wine, we will be using grape juice. Both are acceptable at the Passover table. Some worry about their worthiness to partake of communion, because the Scripture tells us, which Brother Soon read, that if we eat and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. But it's not talking about our worthiness of God, because if it comes to be known, none of us are worthy of him. Amen? None of us. The Scripture says you're all your righteousnesses as filthy rags. So it's not about that. It actually, if you look into the Greek, it speaks about a reverence towards the ordinance of communion. The New King James Version says that if you drink this cup in an unworthy manner, then you will be guilty of the body and blood. It's talking about irreverence. It's a joke. I don't want to do this. So if you can't be serious and respect and honor the Lord, then don't take communion. If you can do that, if you can be respectful and thankful for the cross of Calvary, even though you may sin, even though you may not do what's right, if you can do that and say, thank God for his blood, I want to walk with you, Lord, then you can take communion. So don't let it hinder you from taking communion. Those that mock the Lord, don't take communion. But those that are not mocking God, you may be sinful, you may have done the wrong things, please remember what Christ did for you. The Scripture teaches us that we can take communion as oft as we want. We could partake daily, monthly, yearly. We try to partake quarterly because we don't want it to become common and unclean. We want to be serious when we do these things, so we don't have communion as often or as little as some people have. But the Scripture says, in the reverence of God, that we should examine ourselves. We're going to look at the cup, and I'm going to ask Brother Rick to come, or not the cup. We're going to look. The matzah is the symbol of the unbroken body of Christ, and I would like Brother Rick to pray as I represent the beating that Jesus took on the cross.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for what you have done on Calvary, O Lord Jesus. We bless you this morning, O God, Father. We ask you, O Lord, to forgive us this day, Lord. Let your blood flow through us, Lord. Your word said, Lord, that if we don't eat of your body and drink of your blood, we have no part with you, Lord. But, Lord, we ask you this day, Lord, to let us all be part with you today, Lord. Bless each and every hand, Lord. Bless each and every mouth. Bless each and every heart that partake of this feast today, Lord. in remembrance of you, Lord, as we give you praise and honor in Jesus' name.
Remembering the beatings that he took on the cross for us, the nails that were nailed into his hand, the thorn of crowns that was put upon his head. Scripture says he was wounded for our transgressions, and the iniquity of us all is upon him. I'm going to ask Brother Soon to give thanks for the blood that was shed on Calvary, if he would be so kind. And then they're going to go and pass out the bread and the juice. And just wait, we'll partake together. Brother Soon, would you give thanks?
Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for this privilege, Lord. The opportunity, Lord God, to partake of this Holy Communion, Lord God, to drink the symbolic blood, Lord, which thou shed on Calvary. Lord, as we take this cup, Lord, and drink it, Lord, we pray, Lord God, to touch each and every one of us, Lord God. Make us feel your power, Lord God, and your presence, Lord, as we take this, Lord, and drink it. We give you all the praise, Lord God, and the glory. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The old rugged cross.
till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross. Rugged cross, I will ever be true
in shame
and reproach gladly bear.
Then he'll call me
one day to that home far away. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross
till my trophies at last I lay down.
I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for
I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my joy.
As they sing, could you just imagine in your heart on this day that he went to Calvary, what he really did? Could your heart just take over your thoughts today and look up onto Calvary to see your King on that cross? And could you just lift your voice and give him praise and thanks for what he have done? When I look at him and I look at the word of God and I see how much he has done for me, there is no way in this life that by just saying thank you is enough. Lift your voice. Let the words of your mouth, let it be from your heart today. That cross is not only a symbol. That cross is a symbol of my life, your resurrection, your future. Release your heart and give him the very intent of your thought today. And tell him how thankful you are, how grateful for what he has done, how blessed you are today that you can stand and love him, to say that you love him. That old rugged cross is the greatest treasure that I and you will ever have in this life.
Amen. Why don't you take the bread and in your own way, in your own words, thank him. And partake of the body of Christ, the remembrance of the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for me, Lord. Thank you for the body that was broken for my sins and my transgressions, O God. Thank you, Lord, for the final lamb of sacrifice. Hallelujah. Let's thank him for his blood and partake of the remembrance of the blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary. Thank you, Lord. You took me from being a cocaine dealer, God, to being a child of God, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the change that you brought in my life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God. Why don't you step out of your pew and come and gather yourself in the altar area. Give yourself to the Lord. Ask Him to help you. Remember what He did on Calvary for you. For the blood. Thank God. For the blood. Thank God. For the blood. Washes white and... Come on and gather yourself up front. Oh, thank God for the blood. Thank God. For the blood, thank God. For the blood that washes white as snow. In sin I wandered sore and sad, with bleeding heart and aching head. As Jesus came and He sweetly said, I'll take your sins away. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood that washes white as snow. I gave my heart, my life, my all to Him who drank the cup of gall to raise the guilty from the fall and take their sins away. Oh, thank God
for the blood.
Thank God. For the blood, commit your ways unto Him.
Thank God
for the blood. It's not about one time a year. It's about saying, God, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to walk with you.
The Spirit and the blood agreeth we, but understood in making sinners pure and good. And take their sins away.
Oh, thank God. Thank Him in your own way. Thank Him and glorify Him.
Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood that washes white as snow. How wonderful that mighty plan, how grace that awful gulf did span, when He took on the form of man to take their sins away.
Thank God
for the blood.
Thank God
for the blood. Thank God for the blood that washes white as snow.
Last verse.
We cannot know,
we may not tell,
how we are saved from death and hell. The faith we know that all is well. Our sins away.
Thank God
for the blood.
Thank God
for the blood. Thank God
for the blood.
white as snow. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your broken body. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad if you're a guest here today, I'm so glad that you took the time to be with us today. You're welcome. We're going to pray over our food downstairs. We have a Thanksgiving dinner, and if you can stay, please stay with us and enjoy the fellowship.